look at an Old Testament story tonight, one that part of it you might be more familiar with than the other, but we'll just certainly look at it and make a lesson from it, an admonishment or encouragement for you and me to be sure we stay on God's side. I just titled it in three words, Can't Outwit God. Just to make sure we understand the words alike, I always like to put a little definition in the introduction. When I'm using the word can't in this lesson, I mean it's just not happening. It won't take place. In other words, it cannot. So when you put our words together, if you think you can outwit God, no, you cannot. It's not happening. Second, outwit. That's going to be part of our Bible story tonight, the story of Ahab. But guys, do you think you can outwit God, or all these different words, plot, or scheme, or devise? Do you think you can outfox God, or outsmart Him, or circumvent His words, or try to baffle God, or trick God, or thwart God? I think you get the message. You can't. It's not going to happen. Of course, when you think about God, I have reference to the God of the Bible, the living God, the Almighty, the Creator, deity of the divine. So here's a Bible story concerning those three words, you cannot outwit God, from the Old Testament. Come from 1 Kings chapters 21 and 22. You're very welcome to follow along. Part of it I'm just going to retell it, and then the other part I'm actually going to read the story and make comments on it. To give you a little bit of the background, so I put in your notes, in the days of the kings, there was one that stood up for all the wrong reasons, and that's Ahab. He was the king of the northern kingdom of Israel when the kingdom divided after the death of Solomon. It divided into the north and the south, the north being Israel, the southern kingdom being Judah. So Ahab was, at this particular time, the king of the northern kingdom, Israel. And just kind of a by the way, beginning with Jeroboam, who was the first king of the northern kingdom of Israel when it split, all of Israel's kings were wicked. Every one. The whole line. Not one. No exceptions of the kings of the northern kingdom. The last king was Hoshea. So our story is in 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. Now I'm going to read the whole verse, but I just put the note in your notes. It says, there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. And he behaved very abominably in following idols. So there's one picture we get of Ahab. I'm going to take you back in the story. Because Jezebel and Ahab murdered Naboth so that they could seize or take Naboth's vineyard, God sent Elijah to Ahab with this prediction, and that's in your notes, in verse 19 of 1 Kings 21, verse 19. So Elijah comes to Ahab because of what he did, and he says, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood, even yours. So now let's go back and we'll pick up the story. Why did Elijah make that prediction to Ahab? The dogs are going to lick your blood, Ahab. So in the first 16 or 19, 18 verses, very familiar story, and I'll tell it to you. Naboth had a vineyard next to the palace of Ahab. So there's your setting. Naboth had a vineyard next to the palace, right next to it. In verse 2, Ahab asked Naboth, says, can I trade your vineyard and give you a better one someplace else? Or, Naboth, would you sell me your vineyard? Naboth says, nope, can't do it. This vineyard is the inheritance of my fathers. You're not going to buy it, and I'm not trading it for a vineyard someplace else. So in verses 5 through 7, Ahab is really sad at Naboth's rejection, and his sadness is seen by Jezebel. And Ahab tells Jezebel what happened, their husband and wife, Ahab and Jezebel. And so in verses 8 through 11, Jezebel sends out letters in Ahab's name to the elders and the nobles of the surrounding area and said, Naboth has blasphemed God and the king. He should be stoned to death. So sure enough, verses 12 and 13, there was a meeting. The witnesses, and she also, by the way, hired two witnesses to bear a false witness against Naboth. So the meeting was held. The witnesses made their statements. And in verse 13, they took Naboth outside the city and stoned him so that he died. In verses 14 through 16, Jezebel goes to Ahab. Says, Ahab, my loving husband, Naboth is dead. Cheer up. Take the vineyard. And so that's what Ahab does. So now in verse 19, the verse I just read, God sends Elijah to Ahab with that prediction and says, in the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood, even yours. Well, Ahab thinks about that prediction. God's prophet says, the dogs are going to lick my blood. I think I can outfox that prediction. I think I can foil that plan. I think I can outwit the prophet of God. So he plans a battle that he thought he could win. He conspires with Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is the king of the southern kingdom of Judah. So you have the king of the north, the king of the south, coming together and working together to go capture this city of Ramoth. And Ramoth used to be in Israel, but now was taken captive by Syria. So these two kings, Ahab and Jeroboam, they decided, Jehoshaphat, they said, let's go take this city back from Syria. Well, Ahab says, I'm going to outwit God in this battle. I'm going to put on a disguise when I go into battle. So here's the story. In 1 Kings, now we jump all the way to chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22, because there's some conversation that goes on back and forth between what happened with Ahab and Naboth and now what's happening with Jehoshaphat and Ahab. So here it is, chapter 22, 1 Kings, beginning of verse 29. I'll read the story. So the king of Israel, which is Ahab, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. That's the city they want to take back. Verse 30. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, or Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes. So I'm going to disguise myself, but you wear the king's robes. Got the picture? All right, put it back. So the king of Israel, and still in verse 30, so the king of Israel, Ahab, disguised himself and went into battle. Verse 31. Now the king of Syria had commanded the 32 captains of his chariots, said, fight with no one small or great, but only with the king of Israel. So he said, so the Syrian king said, yeah, when we go into battle, you go after one man, the king of Israel. Okay, got the picture. So Jehoshaphat and Ahab are fired together. Let's go battle Syria. We want to recapture the city of Ramoth Gilead. I'm going to disguise myself, but Jehoshaphat, you don't. you're the king. So the king is, but the Syrian army said, we are going to only go after one person, the king. So, but Ahab disguised himself. So verse 32. So it was, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, surely it's the king of Israel. Therefore, they turned aside to fight against him. In other words, wherever they were, they turned aside and said, we're going after the one man, king of Israel. And Jehoshaphat cried out. You can probably see what that means. Wait a minute, I'm not the king of Israel. You're coming after the wrong man. So verse 32. And it happened, when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. That was the battle plan. We're only going after one person, king of Israel, Ahab. So they went back, and they said, wait a minute, that's not Ahab. So in verse 34, now a certain man drew a bow at random, struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I'm wounded. So Ahab is not wounded. Random arrow. Verse 35. The battle increased that day. The king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians. But he died at evening. The blood ran out from the wound onto the floor of the chariot. So Ahab's blood is now in the chariot. Verse 36. Then, as the sun was going down, a shout went throughout the army, saying, every man to his city, every man to his own country. So stop the battle and everybody go home. Verse 38. Here's the prediction now being fulfilled. Then someone washed the chariot at a pool in Samaria. I skipped verse 37. The king died, was brought to Samaria. They buried the king in Samaria. But then, verse 38, then someone washed the chariot at the pool in Samaria. And the dogs licked up his blood while the harlots bathed, according to the word of the Lord which he had spoken. Ah. Now look at verse 39. The rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did, the ivory house that he built, all the cities that he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab rested with his fathers, and Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his place. So there's the story. Can't outwit God. Ahab thought he could. I'll just disguise myself in the battle and get away with it. So here's some lessons, just kind of briefly, four of them at the close of the lesson. Number one, you can't hide from God's will or God's prediction. Elijah had warned Ahab of God's judgment. However, he thinks he can get around the clearly spoken will of God. But he dies just as God said he would. So the question we ask, I put in your notes, do you think, like Ahab, that God's judgment can be outwitted by you? Ahab disguised himself. Well, it didn't work. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. So let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's all, or the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. You think we can't get around what God has to say? We can't bypass it. We can't foil God's judgment. If the Bible says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, that's what we need to do. We can't outfox all those words in your definition at the top on for outwit. We can't outsmart, outbaffle, or outplot, or scheme, or thwart, or foil God's plan. Just can't do it. That's the lesson from Ahab. He tried it. Second, your false will hurt others. Ahab's decision affected Jehoshaphat and his army. Battle lasted throughout the day. People die. When it was all over, a king is dead, and they all go home without a win. Nobody won. Romans chapter 14, verse 7, none lives to himself and none dies to himself. Look, I'm putting your notes, someone will always say, oh, it's my life, I'm going to live it the way I want to. I'm not hurting anyone. No, you are hurting someone, not only yourself, but the others that care about you. When you're not living right, there are others that have care and concern. We don't just live our lives to ourselves. Other people are affected by the decisions we make, by the things that we say. It's not just us. We'll always have an impact. We'll always have an influence on someone else, whether it's good or whether it's evil. So our faults will hurt others, and that's what Ahab did. He conspired to go into battle, and it involved so many other people, and it wasn't just himself by himself. It hurt others. Number three, you will get what God has promised. You will get what God has promised. God kept his promise to Ahab. He exactly as he said it, but it happened 3 years later. So somebody, you know, God doesn't work on our time frame. You know, God's judgment will take place. Maybe not in our time frame, but it will take place. In Titus 1 verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. So I'm putting in your note, there's a positive side of what God has promised. Salvation, answered prayer, help in time of need, forgiveness of sins, just spiritual blessings. God said He will give, God said He will provide, and He will. We can believe that. He that promised cannot lie. Of course, there's the negative side too. If we don't do what He says, there's eternal judgment. In Hebrews 10, verse 30, for we know Him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge His people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Then the last one, let's dress and act like who we are. Don't put on a disguise. You're not going to fool God. Don't act one way during the week and come back and you'll present yourselves as the best person on the Lord's Day. God will see through that disguise. It's not going to happen. Ahab thought a disguise could outwit God. But I'll fool God on that prediction. He says, all this blood, dogs are going to lick my blood. Oh, no. I'm going to go into battle and we'll see. But it didn't happen. So I just put it in one verse, so you could add verses to this and get the thought. But Matthew 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. You can't disguise yourself. Cannot be hid. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel. No. Don't try to disguise who we are and to whom we belong. You put it on a lampstand. It gives light to all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we need to reveal who we really are, to whom we belong, and on whose side we stand. And not try to disguise ourselves. No hypocrisy. Be that way. Don't argue with God, and don't try to outwit God. That's the lesson from the story of Ahab and Naboth and Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Ahab got what the prediction said because God fulfilled His promise. Can't outwit God. And you can make the other applications. Always when we assemble together for a time of worship, we extend an invitation to obey the gospel message, that gospel message being that God so loved the world, He sent His own Son. That Son lived a life that didn't deserve to die, but He took our place. And so Jesus died and was buried and resurrected. And that was good news because that was a foretaste of what we can expect. And so we believe, when we hear that message, we believe it, that God so loved the world. Than a son. We turn our lives around in repentance. We confess our faith that Jesus is God's Son. Then we're baptized for remission of sins and rise to walk in newness of life. And from that point on, then we begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the invitation, that plan, that formula, that reference, what we present